Hey, coming up next on Ham Nation, you're here just in time because we've got Show Me Your Shack from Dale, a bunch of great video presentations. We've got a Quartz Fest preview from Gordon and just all kinds of madness. So sit back, pour yourself a cold drink with a little Hoodat splash and join us now for Ham Nation, shall you?
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 385, January 16th, 2019. We preview Quartz Fest. Hey, good evening, everybody. It's evening for us. It may not, depending on when you're watching this thing, it may or may not be evening for you. But nonetheless, greetings from deep in the heart of the Hoodat Nation. Bob Heil is off tonight. We've got most of the regular crew. We've got Gordon, we've got George, Amanda. Dale will be here with some information and videos and whatnot. And we're just going to have ourselves a good time tonight while we're waiting for the Saints to come on TV this Sunday. And if you're watching us from the West Coast, Los Angeles in particular, home of the Rams.
Hey.
You know, it says in the Bible somewhere that, you know, sacrificing a ram is okay, so... I've just put it out there. All right, enough football talk and taunting. It's probably it'd be a 15-yard penalty in college, wouldn't it? Let's go around the horn and see what's going on just directly to my north, where the transmitters run wild and George tries to corral them. What's going on up there? You're still having transmitter issues, buddy?
Oh, yeah, man. It has been a rough year so far. You know, I have an office at the studio, but I haven't been there probably 20 minutes yet this year because I've been out in the cow pastures, in the woods, in the hood, just everywhere you could think of that you really just wouldn't want to go hang out. But I have been there. One day after all this is over, we're going to have a really special Tales from the Transmitter site.
I can't wait for that. That's near and dear to my heart, you know, being the loose nut behind the microphone and the cause of an occasional transmitter issue. Well, not anymore since I'm not on the air anymore. But nonetheless, I've actually been allowed to work a little bit on broadcast transmitters, which is a great leap of faith or a lapse of judgment or a little bit of both. But it's very interesting. I don't envy the engineer's job, believe me. I would much rather be talent. Let's see what's going on out in Denver. Close, a little bit south, Canyon City, Colorado, and our good buddy Amanda. Oh, and look, you got that's yeah. Which one is that? That's not radio. That had the ears.
Hi. Yeah. Everything's going great here. It looks like everybody else in the country is either going to have rain, snow, cold temperatures. But not us. I think we're going to miss all of this weather coming up this weekend. But hey, you guys, I'm going to be watching in the chat room. Send me all of your announcements. I know there's a lot of Ham Fest coming up. So get me those announcements. I'd be happy to put them out there tonight for everyone. I'll see you in a bit.
Awesome. Oh, speaking of Ham Fest, I need to clean this up real quick. Last week, I mentioned both the Hammond, Louisiana and Jackson Ham Fest. However, I was a week early on both. The Hammond Ham Fest is actually this coming weekend, and the Jackson Ham Fest is the weekend after that. So, CLARC.org, I believe it is the website for the Hammond Ham Fest, CLARC.org, I believe it is, Southeast Louisiana Amateur Radio Club. They got, like, I don't know, a ton of emails pointing out my mistake, so I wanted to try to fix that just as soon as I possibly could. So, and I don't know why I forgot Hammond was this weekend instead of last weekend, because it's always the weekend of my son's birthday, and my son's birthday is Sunday. So But nonetheless, Hammond, Louisiana this weekend, Jackson, Mississippi the following weekend. So wanted to clean that up for my friends up in Hammond who sent me an email. Sorry about that. And speaking of Hamfest, Gordon's going to one out in the desert. What's going on? You're getting rainy, though. You're going to have to escape from the rain to get out to Quartz Fest.
Well, that'll keep all of the communications van nice and clean. And this weekend, Don, also, beside Tyler's birthday, is the ARRL big meetup in Newington, Connecticut, or close by. And it's going to be interesting. A lot of new faces there, so we'll get a full report on that. Then, of course, this coming Saturday, Sunday is the beginning of the one-week run of Quartz Fest, which we'll talk about shortly. And then the last weekend of the month is Winter Field Day, and the Orange County Amateur Radio Club here in Southern California is going to do it up big. The W6 Zulu Echo station will be all over the place. So in a couple more weekends, take a listen for all of those stations throughout the country that will be taking part in Winter Field Day. Well, Don, if we may, let's go ahead and jump right into Short Shots and tell you about all the planning that's going into Quartz Fest 2019. Quartz Fest is located in the desert area of Arizona, a very quick drive, maybe 4 or 5 hours from Southern California. Biggest question is, well, what are there assigned parking spots? Yep, just go up to a cactus and pick your own spot. So Quartz Fest, we're now celebrating probably 22 years, and I've been there for at least 21 of the 22. They'll, of course, have T-shirts and so on. But this weekend is also the VHF-UHF contest. And if 6 meters behaves like it did a couple of days ago, we're going to be working all over the place. So this weekend, everybody, dust off that 6-meter rig and come up on the air and enjoy. Because out at Quartz Fest, we're going to be on the air, maybe with the ICOM 9700. Ray's got it all lubed up and ready to roll, so we'll put that little baby on the air as well. Well, when folks come into a ham fest or come into a convention, we never want to have anybody get lost because then they're in a bummer mood for the rest of the time. So plenty of signage at Quartz Fest. And once they pull in, they check into the Welcome Center. And the Welcome Center is always staffed with the greatest people ready to get you all registered. And Quartz Fest is free. None of us make a dime. There's no money that you have to spend on anything. And manufacturers really pull out the stops and coming up with all sorts of neat treats, ICOM America band charts, and just a lot of neat things like that for the taking. Out front, of course, is the Quartz Fest schedule, and things get started this Sunday. Everybody likes to know where a schedule is. And this is Chris, KR1SS. Chris is our fearless leader for the next 8 to 10 days, and she's been on scene for the last few days, getting solar added to her big rig, and she's very confident that the weather is going to be just great and sunny the whole time. Lots of different type of vehicles that you're going to see there. There's our comm van, and we always say navigate to the pink pig. That'll get you in the area closest to the height of the activities. All sorts of neat rigs that fellow hams bring in, including tent campers. And tent campers, if you look carefully, there's looks like a bench or paddle in there, tripod off to the left. So CW will definitely be in use this coming weekend for the VHF contest. The sand is hard packed. So if you are in a wheelchair or a bicycle chair, this one's great. You'll have no problem getting around. The wind system is going to be there. So for those of you that have a wind system connection in your area, let me know because we'll be on the air as well over the wind system. Those arriving by night are guided by one of the lit up palm trees, and that'll keep everybody in the know where to go. There's Tracy and Jody. Tracy puts in, as well as Jody, a ton of time on getting everything ready for those that'll be doing the registration, getting the computer all in there, as well as sending out the Quartz Fest newsletters. Nighttime, no problem. We always have a campfire going, movies on the side of a vehicle. Everybody brings their own. Thursday night is the Hootenanny. And there's Russ on the next to the right-hand side with a white beard. It's extra white because on his way down from his place up in Washington, his Jeep separated from his main vehicle, but came dutifully to a good stop without any major damage. So we're glad to have you there. And he's a mean guitar player, and he'll have the Hootenanny really rolling. And there's AC. He has his own type of guitar. I like that acoustic chamber. Yeah, okay. Anyway, he's always around. A lot of nighttime seminars about stars that we do at Quartz Fest. Neil, W6FOG, you hear him on all of the RV nets. What a great guy. He just is there to make sure that everything goes smooth with a ton of pre-quartzite effort ahead of time. And, you know, Randy will be there as well. Randy says, you know, getting ready for quartzite is like going on a field day, getting all that stuff. And you're absolutely right, Randy. And here's Jerry Ellsworth, AI6TK, and Amy. They were testing out their loop antenna. The wind was blowing like a mama last year. But in between the windstorm, look at this. Their loop was heard running just a few milliwatts literally all over the country. So this is neat stuff. A lot of seminars. Some of the seminars are spilling out even into the open air. So we've added more even tents. A lot of hands-on ARDFing is always a very popular one. Swedging connectors. Do I solder? Do I crimp them? We do that. Oh, yeah, Arduino. Look at that. A lot of breadboard kits out there for everybody to look at and put together. Special event station, Whiskey 7 Quebec. That's the beginning of it. And everybody's looking to see what's going to be there. And I guarantee there'll be a lot of FT8 and a lot of other of the digital modes. And, of course, the ICOM 9100. And maybe, Ray, we can get a hint of looking at the 9700 as well. That would sort of be fun. All of our special event station rigs are going to run off of that tan battery to the left. That's a 100 amp hour bio-NO power lithium iron phosphate battery composed of a gazillion little cells on the inside, which in 2 weeks we'll show you the insides. But it's 100 amp hours, relatively lightweight. That's going to run the station with a little solar power to keep it going. There's Don in 9ZGE talking about antenna tuners and Windmore and WindLink. Ladies have done a great job in doing a lot of the fun cooking, not just cooking, but this is cast iron cooking that always draws a lot of oohs and ahs. And there's Gary. He's taking Susie for a ride on off-road because we have an off-road adventure, and we have two different types, one for four-wheel drive vehicles that don't mind a little scratch here and there, and those for more modest vehicles. So take your pick for the off-roading. Gary again showing that amateur television and Arden, the 2.4 gigahertz band for sending messages and so on between hams without needing the entry into the internet. And he's got ATV going, so if it is a day that you don't want to get out, you can hook up your ATV to an outside antenna, make that your common coach TV to an outside antenna, and pick up some of the activity at Quartz Fest. And of course, there's the 10 gigahertz. So we're all the way up to microwave, and we hope to do a little bit of 10 this coming weekend for the VHF UHF contest. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of quartz around. Wouldn't it be neat if you could just like pick one of those up and break it open and find gold? Well, Marilyn says, follow me. I'm going to show you where to get gold. Well, a class, actually a couple of them on gold panning and gold prospecting, and all the experts are there. And did she find, oh my gosh, look at those. Those are real gold nuggets. that I think she may have put in the pan before they dug up some of the sand. But it certainly got the heart pounding that it's going to be fun to find gold. For those that are planning upgrading, yep, Suze and I and others will be, Dave and Tina will be there with the W5YIVEC for examinations. I think it's on Wednesday. And we're also doing commercial exams as well. So that'll be happening. And, of course, the pet parade. Oh, yeah. Get those dogs and cats and gerbils and whatever they are dressed up, because we have prizes for the pet parade. And so many manufacturers have donated fun little prizes for us. Then there's the walk around to look at solar panels. Then there's a walk around to look at antennas. And we'll see all sorts of homebrew antennas, mobile antennas, and RV. And I'll try and get some good pictures for you. So the walk around is a good one. That's Neil, again, W6FOG. He is an accomplished drone pilot, and he talks about the safety of drones and some of the rules and regulations. So for those of you into droning, if that's a verb, you'll have Neil there to guide you easily through. The last Saturday is the swap meet, and there's some good stuff there going for a fraction of the price that you might find on eBay. So be prepared for the swap meet. And the ladies, they are there. Look at all that neat quilting that they're doing. And the ladies always have some good brew to take home, honey and jams and jellies. This is fun because it's just a real fun home event. And the ladies have a lot of neat things that they do, including going into town, because remember, Quartzsite is the haven, I should say heaven, for RVers that take in the RV show under two huge tents up in town just a few miles away. And yes, we all go into town. And weekend after next, we will find out what's happening at League headquarters. Now with a new CEO and fresh blood, it'll be interesting to see some of the new plans and some of the new ideas that new League staff and new League volunteers are going to suggest at the board meeting. Thanks to Phil at Kenwood, a D74 is going to be the grand prize on late Saturday. And there's our winner last year. And of course, we have to have a Quartz Fest mascot. Don, this looks a little bit like our celebration of the Rams after we win, maybe. But there's our mascot. And much like Birmingham, Sam, we've got appropriate radios there. And so our final at Quartz Fest is the Birmingham Man Roast. And as you can see, it's really taking place grand style. So Quartz Fest is a fun get together for ham radio operators. We'll have some kids coming in, thanks. That last shot was Dave and Heather, and Dave and Heather work so closely with the school system in La Paz that we get a lot of kids on scene, and they show us some of their latest gadgets, and some of them are really cool. So we'll be out of here next week, but we'll give you the full report and some photos of Quartz Fest 2019, boondocking, no facilities, no water, no plumbing, no dump station, no electricity, no nothing but just hams having a great time helping one another out. So that's a neat thing, and that's what we're doing this week and most of next week. So now let's find out what's happening in the news, and let's go with Newsline.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2150, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, January 16th, 2019. The NRRL's new chief recently addressed hundreds of attendees at Ham Radio University in New York in anticipation of the league's first board meeting of 2019.
Just days before the scheduled board meeting of the ARRL on January 18th, the league's new CEO, Howard Mickel, WB2ITX, declared that he has a three-year timeline for making changes at the nonprofit membership organization, which has a changing and shrinking population. Mickle was delivering the keynote address on January 5th at the Ham Radio University in Brookville, New York, which drew 400 or more to the ARRL's New York City Long Island Section Convention, a day-long event that also featured forums and workshops. Although Mickle offered no specifics in his talk, he said one of his goals was to find a better way for staff and volunteers to partner together within the $15 million organization and better position it for the future. The former president and CEO of the IEEE told the group, quote, "I don't want to sink this ship while changing its course." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
In Australia, preparations are underway for one of the grandest gatherings of hams in the hemisphere.
The largest gathering of radio amateurs in the Southern Hemisphere is to take place again in February in Australia, the Wyong Field Day, a ham fest run by the Central Coast Amateur Radio Club, located about an hour's drive north of Sydney in New South Wales, Australia, is happening again. On February 24th, the 61st CC ARC Field Day takes place at the Wyong Horse Racing Course. This is not only the longest running and largest gathering of amateurs in the Southern Hemisphere, it also has the largest covered radio flea market in Australia. Commercial traders have the luxury of a large air-conditioned marquee, as they have had for the last couple of years. Licensed training will take place at the same venue on Saturday, with the exams and the rest of the event happening on Sunday. There will be lectures in the main race club building, along with representation from the National Society, the WIA. National groups including ALARA, the Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association, and local clubs. For full details, go to the club website at ccarc.org.au and click on the Wyong Field Day tab or button, or follow the event details on Facebook under CCARC Wyong Field Day. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Just as the Olympic Games return every 4 years, the World Radio Sport Team Championship will be back before you know it, and the first qualifying event is coming soon.
It's not too early to start thinking about the World Radio Sport Team Championship. The next one is being held in July of 2022 in Bologna, Italy. Qualification rules are now available for review and discussion before they are published in their final form on the 31st of January. Then, get ready for the first qualifying event. That will be the ARRL's International DXCW Contest, which is taking place on the 16th and 17th of February. To view the proposed rules in English, visit wrtc2022.it/en/. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, Ed Durant, DD5LP, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW, deep in the Hoodat Nation. 7-3, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
All right, good stuff from the Newsline crew, and time to check the solar report with Dr. T. We don't have a video tonight. We had some time constraints close to showtime, but we do have the information for you. So let's go ahead and pop those slides up real quick. Vic, she says, pockets of fast solar wind will continue to hit us sporadically over the next few days, making forecasting hard, so expect unsettled conditions with a small chance of storming at high latitudes. This should help amateur radio propagation on Earth's night side. And the next slide tells us that our sun continues to be spotless, so there's no risk for radio blackouts. The good news is solar flux is hanging on to the low 70s, which means radio propagation at the low end of marginal this week. New bright regions on the sun's backside will be rotating into Earth view over the next week, so solar flux will likely increase in about 5 days or so. And of course, for the latest information, you can always check her website at spaceweatherwoman.com. And you should also follow her on Twitter. That's her Twitter page right now. And of course, spaceweatherwoman.com is the website. So by all means, if you don't follow her on Twitter, subscribe to her Facebook page. And it's a wealth of information, and she updates it almost 24 hours a day, as time permits. I've said this before, I don't think the woman sleeps. So, Dr. Tamitha Scove, WXXSWW, glad to have you as a ham and as part of the Newsline team. Great information. She just has a way of distilling that technical information down to where even I can understand it. Let's why don't we see what George has got going on. George has got something going on with smoke and solder. Well, he always has something going on with smoke and solder. George, what is it? Tell us. We need to know. Tell us now, please.
Well, we will tell you something, Don. By the way, you know, it's interesting report. There are no chance of radio blackouts. As a matter of fact, it looked like no chance of radio, period, with no sunspots for a while. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to have some again one of these years. But, you know, I'd actually have to have time to get on the air for it to really impact me here. I have been stretched out. You know, I've been, well, singing the blues since, oh, I don't know, the first of the year when all this started. I'm still working out at, in one particular transmitter site that we haven't got squared away yet. I hope that it's on the utility company now, and they fessed up and said, yeah, it's on us, but they haven't done anything about it yet. And maybe in the next day or so, I'll get that solved, and then I can concentrate more on the T1 failure that kills the audio to 6 radio stations. That would be nice to address as well. That's been an ongoing issue, too. It's been good for about a week, but we knew it was coming back because they just don't maintain the copper anymore like they used to. And, you know, one pair goes bad, you move it to another pair in the same bundle, you can count on that pair going bad more often than not now, it seems like. But, boy, it has been a tough time so far in the radio engineering business there. But I look forward to get better as things progress here. Well, you know, tonight we are going to have a video from Randy. But first, let's get a message from ICOM. Come back, and then we'll introduce that for you.
Listen up, hams. Soon, ICOM will be releasing the new IC9700. It's the latest transceiver bringing direct sampling and software-defined receiver technology to the VHF and UHF arena. You're going to want to keep this rig on your radar. The IC9700 is packed with features including all-mode tri-band covering 144, 430, 440, as well as 1200 megahertz, center design style 4.3-inch color touchscreen, dual watch operation, and full duplex operation in satellite mode. Smooth satellite operation with normal reverse tracking and 99 satellite channels. D-Star providing digital clear audio and internet-capable communications. Digital data mode providing 128 kilobits per second data communications. Look for the new IC9700 coming soon.
Attention all hams.
ICOM knows that ham clubs play a big role in bringing ham communities together to learn from their peers and industry leaders. As a way to give back and help you on your mission, ICOM has launched a promotion exclusively for U.S. ham clubs and the ham fest they're involved with. By registering your club, you could win ICOM swag, a Skype presentation for your club, or your ham fest, an ICOM booth setup. Register today for your chance to win at icomamerica.com/hams.
And you can tune in and enter to win. After each episode of Ham Nation, go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win. You could win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats and whatever else they can stuff in the box there. And you'll automatically be entered in the grand prize drawing each month for a new radio. For January, that is the ICOM IC2730A Dual Band Dual Watch Mobile. It's got a large LCD display, 50 watts on VHF and UHF. It's got VHF, UHF, VHF, VHF, or UHF, UHF simultaneous receive, built-in weather alert function. There's an optional Bluetooth board available and free downloadable PC programming software. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation. And register to win. Sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And tonight, well, you know, Randy started building his new bench here recently. He's built a new house. And, of course, one of the first orders of business there is to get your workbench firmly established. He's been doing that, and it looks like he's come a long way since the last time we had a look at it. So let's get an update on the state of Randy's workbench.
Hi, Randy, K7AGE. I thought I would do another workbench video and fill you in on the progress that I've made here in the last couple months or whatever. When we last left, I had the bench basically built, but nothing loaded on it. And over the last month or so, I've been collecting things and installing some stuff and making it so now that it's usable, and I'm really enjoying having a dedicated workbench again. So let's take a look around and see what I've done. Now, one of the things I noticed when I first started using the bench is that the rear part was kind of dark. So I added two strips of stick-on LED lights underneath the shelf here, and that's helped quite a bit. Okay, I have the workbench divided into two areas. The area on the right holds mostly the test equipment, and the area on the left is for working. On the top shelf on the right, I have a old parts drawer that's filled mostly with resistors and some other parts. I'm going to get new parts drawers and reorganize all my parts. So I dragged this out of the basement for one of the projects that I was working on that I needed some resistors. And below the parts drawers, I have some test equipment. So on the top here, I have a Hitachi dual trace scope. I think it's 50 or 60 megahertz. That's very nice and small. Below that is a Tektronix TM500 frame with four plugins. The plug-in on the left is a frequency counter, and then the next one to the right is a voltmeter, followed by a function generator and a power supply. And down below that is another Tektronix TM500 frame, and it has two voltmeters on the left, a dual-channel 80 megahertz scope, and a frequency counter on the right. Now, I've been really lucky. A friend of mine gave me the Hitachi scope. It's something he bought years and years ago and never used it. He says, you would use this and you know how to use it. So he gave it to me. The TM500 frame below that, I bought this last June up at the Seaside CPAC Hamfest for $90 complete. And the frame on the bottom, I picked up at a local radio club picnic from a Silent Key sale. And, well, they had a price on that for $20. And let me tell you, a $20 bill flew out of my wallet really fast. I'd like to get an idea how much that oscilloscope costs back in the day. These things were built back in the 70s and 80s. And up on the shelf above the work area, I'm basically storing some things, but it includes a Hewlett-Packard frequency counter and voltmeter. And at a ham swap, I found these old Heathkit resistor and capacitor substitution boxes. They need some work. I probably need to change out all of the resistors. That thing's probably 50, 60 years old. So something for another rainy day. And across the back wall on the lower part of the bench is where I have a lot of tools and stuff stored. I use one of these Harbor Freight magnetic tool holders to hold my wire cutters and strippers and needle noses and things. So that's really handy. They just pop in there, and if I alternate them up and down, I can pack them closer together. So, yeah, that's worked out really nice. So here's a plastic tool holder I have. It's holding mostly screwdrivers down through the holes, and it's a little shelf for some other things. So I printed out one of these Ohm's Law formula wheels, which is handy to have. And with the pegboard, it's real handy to put a couple pegs in there. That's a handy place to store solder and tape and solder wick, so it gets things up off the table. And below the tool holder, I have my soldering iron and a little bottle of water. And it's a Weller WES-51. I've received emails in the past, people wanting to know what I have. And then I have one of these Panavise workbench things, vise. And a little third hand, one of these Harbor Freight magnetic holders where it's handy to put screws and stuff in there that don't fly around. At the dollar store, I picked up these little containers. It's real handy just to throw stuff in. My good old trusty Simpson 260 voltmeter. And a coffee cup full of pens and pencils. A big old mug full of heat shrink tubing. And on the left side, I have a cable holder rack, and this is where I can hang my short alligator clips and test leads and things. So it makes it right there nice and handy. I also have my K7 AGE notebook there. I can keep track of things. And I was at a Goodwill store the other day, and they had a whole bin full of calculators. I found this TI-36X Pro in real good shape. All the buttons seem to work. The display is good. $3.99. So now I have a dedicated workbench calculator. And it's really handy to have several different devices on the bench to hold things when you're working on a project. On the left end of the workbench, I have another one of these cable holders. So this is a convenient place to hang a lot of the test leads, the longer ones, and coaxes, and USB cables and things. So that's worked out nice, having all those hung there. And on the right side end, I have a paper towel holder on the top. And I got some pegs on here to hold, like, my head magnifier. And it's a good place for the soldering gun and the hot glue gun. Also hang a flashlight. Always need one of those. Well, I think that's pretty much it for the tour of the workbench. I think I've shown you pretty much everything that I've done so far. And it's worked out really nice having the test gear right here. When I need to power something, I have a power supply, an adjustable plus and minus power. It's low current, but I have another project to help solve that. And, you know, the voltmeters, I just grab the leads off the side and hook things up, and, you know, in seconds I'm able to run. It's a lot nicer than having to dig things out and set them up and put them away. Thanks for watching. I hope you enjoyed the workbench. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at K7AGE. And if you like this, please give me a thumbs up and subscribe, and I hope to be back soon. 73 from Randy, K7AGE.
Nice looking bench, Randy. That is really coming along nice, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what you're going to build on there now. As a matter of fact, we want to know what all of you are building, what kind of projects you're into, what are you soldering, wrenching, drilling, destructing, constructing. You know, Randy's collecting your photos along with descriptions, no videos, please, of your current projects. What are you doing? And I think he's got enough together that we'll be seeing another segment of Show Us Your Project here soon. And, well, send yours in. Let's get you on a show here soon. Your photos and description of what you're building. Send those to k7age@outlook.com. And Randy will get to work on putting those in the next video segment that he's working on. And let's see, the last two weeks. We've been looking at those little 433 megahertz experimenter modules. You know, 2 weeks ago, I had a transmitter-receiver pair that would operate about that far. Last week, I swapped out the receiver, and we looked at that segment, and I got, you know, a quarter mile out of it. So, big difference between the two. I built my own antennas for it to help the range a little bit. And I asked a question last week, how long in inches would a 433 megahertz quarter wave vertical antenna be? And we had a winner. It was Nick Jacks, KM6UBA. Nick said it would be 6.5 inches long. And that is correct. So congratulations, Nick. You're going to receive a copy of Gary Drash's K9DJT's book, Ham Radio is Alive and Well. It's a great book on his coming back into the hobby and finding out what's going on these days, and maybe a little encouragement for those folks who have been out of the hobby for a long time and those who are new to the hobby. A lot of information on here on what's going on in ham radio today, as well as a little bit of Gary's background there as well. Thanks for making those available, Gary. For next week, I've got another question for you, and this is going to come out of Gordon West's amateur radio study guide for the extra class license. You know, Gordo writes the best amateur radio study guides around, and we're gonna give some lucky viewer one of these next week. And I've got the question here right out of the question pool in Gordell's book. What is the function of a reactance modulator? Is it to produce PM signals by using an electrically variable resistance? Or is it to produce AM signals by using an electrically variable inductor or capacitor? Is it to produce AM signals by using an electrically variable resistance? Or is it to produce PM signals by using an electrically variable inductance or capacitance? What's the function of a reactance modulator? If you think you know the answer, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might win next week's lucky prize, one of Gordo's general class or extra class study guides there. Thanks for Gordo providing those, as well as W5YI and Master Publishing. Well, I think Dale is back with us tonight with another... I don't know. What do you got there, Dale?
Oh, quite a little bit. We had several submissions and some interesting videos tonight and a handful of photos some of the guys sent in to Bob. He passed them along. We'll be showing you those. But right now, why don't we jump right in to the first of three videos? We'll kick off 2019 here on the video segment with a look back at the SataNet 2018. It's all courtesy of Matt. He's KD0EZS.
Hi, Santa. Brooklyn is here and she's ready. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Ho, 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 ho. What do you want for Christmas?
Ready? Go ahead, tell him.
Oh. A tablet?
A tablet.
What about some sparkly shoes?
I've got a note here.
Let's see here.
Yeah,
that you also want some sparkly jeans. So I'll
throw
a pair of those in there too, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Say it again.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Lexi. And what do you want? Oh, hang on. We gotta get Lexi up here, Santa. Hang on just a second.
Okay.
Lexi, it's your turn. Up here.
Put a mouse,
boy, we got a tribe of them, Santa. Thank you for taking the time to talk to all of them. Here's Lexi. Say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Lexi. What do you want me to bring you?
Tablet.
A tablet. Maybe something else.
Barbie?
A Barbie. So, tell him. Tell
a Barbie.
Him.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Lexi, you need to hold on to this Barbie tonight. I talked to one of my elves that works for Mattel, and they may stop making these pretty soon. So, yes, I will get you one. And I'll pick out the one that's best for you. Can I talk to Brianna?
You bet. Briella is sitting here. She's two, Santa, so she may not say too much, but she's almost two. She'll be two in January.
That she would like a baby
dump. Brilla,
get up into the microphone and say hi to Santa.
Say hi to Santa. Hi. Say hi. Say hi. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Well, I don't think we're going to get it tonight, Santa, but she does. She says hi and Merry Christmas to you, and she loves you.
Yes, and I see. Be 2 January 4th.
So, really, you're almost 2 years
old. Now, can I get y'all to maybe
lay me out some milk and cookies?
You bet.
Can I
look
good?
Fun? Yes.
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 Now, let's get into that.
Okay. Well, thanks, Matt. Appreciate you sharing the Christmas spirit of ham radio here for the first segment in 2019. Matt also sent us in a photo. We'll have Victor bring that up on the screen. It's a photo of his favorite T-shirt. And Matt runs the Western Kansas 160 meter net every Tuesday around 9 o'clock Mountain Time. It'll be about 8 o'clock Central. It's a great net. I invite you to join Matt there. And we'll all have to find out where you can get that shirt. That's pretty nice. Well, our second video is a very interesting video on a tour of the ham van. And we received it from Mike, KB8KB. So here's Mike and the ham van team's video.
This is a short video about the ongoing project called The Ham Van by the Ham Van Team. The ham van, after it arrived in Michigan from New York in January of 2017. Jim, K8JH, worked on gutting the van of unnecessary wires. This took about several weeks. One of the first things added was the antenna patch panel with five radio jacks and four antenna jacks through the Nicoil to the top of the mast. Two spares went to the outside panel on the right side of the van. The charger was added to keep the two deep cell batteries charged. The charger runs on either shore power or generator power. Then the inverter was added for the computers and the rotor. Most everything else is 12 volt. A new generator was installed on a rollout stainless steel bed to provide power when the shore power was not available. The old compressor for the mast was removed and replaced with a new, quieter one, and storage was created for the power cords and wire antennas, rotor, tools, and spare parts. A storage tube for mast and expandable poles was added to the right side of the van. The beams are stored on the top and the left side. The rotor control and radios were added, a Yaesu FT991 and an Elecraft KS3, and a Zastone for 2 meter and 440. An Elecraft KPA500 was also included. There are two computers, one for each radio and also a larger monitor. The result was two operating positions, one at the console itself and one from the reversible seat in the passenger side of the van. The rotor slides into the top of the mast and is held in place with a pin. The beam antennas all connect to the mast with large wing nuts. No tools are required on top of the van. Dipoles and long wires connect to a pipe at the underside of the rotor. The original mast had some small leaks which caused the compressor to run more than desired, so it was replaced with a better one from another van. Okay, time to operate. Field day 2017 with a 40 meter fixed direction wire beam and a 6 meter beam on the top of the mast. This is Jim, K8JH, operating field day 40 meter CW at night. This was a Michigan State Parks on the air from the White Pine Trail in Reed City with a 40 meter dipole and a 6 meter beam on the top of the mast. Another Michigan park on the air, Hoff State Park in EN85, with a 40 meter rotatable dipole and a 6 meter beam on the mast. This is Michigan's East Tawas Point State Park with a 6 meter beam and a 40 meter dipole on the mast. This is Brockway Mountain, Copper Harbor, Michigan, rear grid EN67 with a hex beam and a 20 meter and a new 6 meter beam and a Wyndham antenna. This is Dayton Hamvention 2018 on display at the main gate with a 2 meter 440 antenna on top, 6 meter beam, and a 20 meter hex beam. On display at Michigan HamCon 2017 with a 6 meter beam and a 20 meter rotatable dipole. Field day 2018, again with a 40 meter wire beam pointed toward Florida and a 6 meter beam. At Northport, Michigan, for the 2018 VHF contest with a 2-meter and a 6-meter beam on top. Then at Grand Haven State Park for the same 2018 VHF contest with a 2-meter and a 6-meter beam on top, working in rover mode for multiple grids. This little story brought to you by the Ham Van team, Jim, K-8-J-H, Bob, K-8-E-I-O, Mike, K-B-8-K-B, and Tom, K-8-T-B. Thanks for watching.
Well, thanks to Mike, KB8KB, and the Ham Van team for showing us their ham van. Very nice operation there. Well, we've received a handful of photos since the last episode, just before Christmas. I'd like to show some of them to you now. First, we've got a photo of the WZ4C slant WZ4I shack today. And from Mark, we've also got a blast from the past. On the left, Mark, who was then KB4QLZ, operates the 1987 ARRL 10-meter single sideband contest. On the right, it's Mark again, 30 years later, working W1AW as WZ4I. That was in February of 2017. Well, it's time now to switch, take a look at some of our ham canine friends. We're going to bring up Toby. Toby's a trainee, at Gary's station. Gary is KC7HXC. And we've got a yard rock here at AA6RV being guarded by David's canine friend. And then, finally, we can't leave out our ham feline friends. Here's Carl Kirksey's cat as it operates. The photo came in without the cat's name or the station call sign, but we thought you'd enjoy it anyway. Well, finally, a short thought-provoking video dedicated to the old-timers who began their careers years ago using that calibrated screwdriver. It comes to us from Mike, KB8KB's Facebook page. Okay, one video is worth a million words. Stay safe out there. And that's something else. Thanks to Mike, KB8KB, for sharing the link to his Facebook page. That's probably the Saints on Sunday they're on.
Watch it now.
Okay.
Whoa.
That's it. Yeah, uh-huh. Going to be a good football day on Sunday. We're pulling for the Chiefs, so we'll see what happens there. Okay, and that's it for the first Ham Nation video segment of 2019. Hopefully, we'll receive a few great videos from you that we can feature here on Ham Nation. That'll be on February 6th, I believe, will be the next Ham Nation video segment. We do have one planned from Jim, W9JUG, at that time, showing us how to set up a manual antenna tuner. A pretty nice little short, concise video tutorial we'll have on here for you. Remember, we're dependent on you, the Ham Nation viewer, to send us your shack photos and your videos. If you have any questions about how to produce a video, how to go about it, what rules you should follow, just send me an email. We'll be glad to help you at any time. Well, time now to visit our Ham Nation studio in Canyon City. I'm going to turn things over to Amanda. And Amanda, a belated Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you as well, Dale. I was going to give Radio a chance because you're showing the dogs off. So now I have to show the next one off. Come here, Radio. Come here. You can perk up for me? Perk up. Let's see those ears. Let's see those ears. Oh, yes. Here's the ears. Hold on. One more. Okay. Right here. Right. Oh, no. Okay. He's done.
If it made noise, he'd know where it was.
He's adorable. All right. Let's get to it. I can't believe what I just saw. Jeff so doesn't want to be on the camera. He just crawled underneath my chair. Okay. That's TV for you. He was having a bad hair day, I guess. All right. Let's go over first one announcement here. I have a Ham Fest going on here in Colorado. The NCARC is putting on the Winter Ham Fest that starts on Saturday morning at 8 a.m. and ends at 12:30. They have some forums going on, a raffle at the end, so hopefully everyone will be there. We're not going to make it there. It is supposed to be snowing a little bit up north, so we don't like to risk it. So, and it's about 3 hours away. All right. This question, is anyone familiar with DPRS? Not APRS, DPRS. No?
I know how to spell it.
That's kind of you.
Nope, sorry.
Okay, so anyhow, Bill WZ1L, he asked, can we follow Ray Novak with him using his DPRS and see it on APRS? So basically, DPRS is, and I asked Jeff to come and explain it, and he didn't want to, but basically, if you have D-Star in the area, you can turn on your DPRS, and it will begin... show up on APRS. So
that's right.
I would imagine Ray has got everything APRS turned on. So give it a shot, and chances are you'll see him.
And Ray will be squawking DPRS at Quartz Fest, getting in there tomorrow.
Well, there you go.
And that was another question. Was Andy KP4AAN said, "Do you know if they're going to have any D-Star reflectors at Quartz Fest this year?" And I'm going to assume that maybe Ray's going to set one up in his mobile unit there and probably be hosting it via a hotspot or something. Wouldn't you assume so, Gordo?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, AC many times will set up his D-Star setup. So you bet D-Star will be playing and will be heard around the country, maybe around the world from Quartz Fest, probably starting on Monday, in that both Saturday and Sunday, all of the QFers are going to be doing VHF, UHF, hoping for a 6-meter opening.
Oh, absolutely. And I've been kind of following the news here. I've been seeing a lot of posts on Facebook about 6 meters opening here and there and 10. So let's hope for that in Quartz Fest and you guys can have a really good time. All right. One other thing I had here. Let me go over. Gordo, Quartz Fest, just to clarify, it's always open to everyone all the time, right? Anyone can just pack up and say, kids, we're going to Quartz Fest this weekend. Is there any entry fees and anything like that?
Yes, it's held on Bureau of Land Management land. 14 days you can stay for free. No, the government slowdown, shutdown, turndown did not affect BLM at Quartz Fest. So we're good to go. And it is a absolutely free event. None of us that take part in organizing it get a cent. In fact, we pour more money into it than our YLs would like to know about. And the area is open 365 days a year. You can only stay, though, on the BLM land for 14 days. Then you got to move to somewhere else, and then you can come back later on. But it is a wide open area, and we encourage everybody, even if you just want to drive in for a day from Las Vegas or Arizona, the east part of Arizona, come on over and enjoy Quartz Fest, where hams really get hands-on.
That's great. And I hope everyone out there has a wonderful, wonderful time. And I've kind of thought about this before. You know, you're in Arizona, but in all of your pictures, I see there's a lot of sweatshirts and fires going on. Does that mean it gets a little chilly there as well?
It does. During the day, it's anticipated to get up to 65, which is almost shorts weather for me. But at night, it gets down to 40, and that's what they expect for the next week, all 40 degrees. But no storms, no rain, just sunshine. And, yep, it does get a little cool sometimes during the day as well.
Oh, I bet it can. Now, I also saw one other comment that I wanted to talk about in the chat here. And I couldn't catch the call sign because I was just scrolling through. But somebody said, I just don't understand APRS and what's the point of having that in your car and following it around. Now, I definitely don't use APRS on a daily basis because for some of the same thoughts, I don't need everyone on Ham Nation knowing when I went to the grocery store or what I'm doing. But APRS has some huge advantages when you're running, let's say, an event, a bike ride, a race where you can keep track of your SAG vehicles. That's the support and gear vehicles. You can see when somebody's stopped on the road. You can see how fast people are going. It really does have some advantages. On a daily basis use, not so much, but I do like it when Jeff runs it in his car and he tells me that he left work 5 minutes ago and I think that gets a laugh. So
APRS, Amanda, is very important for emergency responders. That's one of the things that we teach during some of our classes. And APRS at Quartz Fest is great because when we do the off-road trip, we can keep track of where they are and know when they're going to all return back to camp because usually Chris or one of the lead vehicles has APRS rolling. And for those that want to watch us squawking at Quartz Fest, go to aprs.fi, and you can put in my call sign, WB6NOA. You'll see as we are heading to Quartz Fest.
Well, very good. Again, I hope you guys all have a fun time. I know you're going to because you guys get to play with the new 9700, so everybody is already jealous. All right. Let's go over where the nets are going to be tonight. We have the 75-meter net on, I just saw it and now I lost it, 38, gosh, I'm sorry. I've lost my place. I think it was 38.95. That's right, 38.95. We're going to have the 40-meter net check around 71.92. The D-Star net on 14 Charlie. Maybe we can get Novak to check in tonight. He is traveling. And also the DMR net on TAC 311. Now, the Echo Link net, I've heard is up in the air, but do check the Guild and see if it's maybe running there. So with that, Mr. Will Banks, who that? Send it back to you.
Yeah.
Go Saints.
Thank you. Got a couple of things to say. First off, hello to our listeners on WTWW on 5085 and 15.810. Some of the greatest music of all time, the rock and roll and some great classic rock and roll disc jockeys on there as well. And a lot of ham radio programming as well with the QSO show and Newsline and a bunch of other stuff. If you'd like to let them know what's going on in your ham radio world, you can email them. The address is very simple, email at wtww.us. They like signal reports as well. And I mentioned at the top of the show that I messed up with some HamFest last week, so I want to show you some websites. First off, for the Ham and HamFest this weekend, the 19th, actually I think it's Friday and Saturday, at SeaLark.org in Hammond, Louisiana, not too far from me. They're on the campus of Southeastern Louisiana University. Great, great HamFest, 38th annual Hammond HamFest. That is SeaLark.org, SELARC, for Southeast Louisiana Amateur Radio Club. SeaLark.org is that website. Check that out. And the following weekend is the Jackson, Mississippi HamFest. That, of course, is Georgia's home HamFest, the capital city HamFest. And I don't know what, msham.org. For MississippiHam.org. There you go. So there's your for this week and next week here in the South Louisiana and Mississippi, Central Mississippi area. So check out those ham fests. I'm going to try to make at least one of those. I'm not sure if I'm going to make Hammond, but I'm going to try to make Jackson if at all possible. I think I'm going to be placing an alternator in my car this weekend. Before the temperature drops from 70 on Saturday to 40 on Sunday for my son's birthday. So that's all I have. George, anything additional from you?
George isn't here.
George is, well, no, of course.
He's fixing the transmitter. Well, happy birthday, Tyler.
Happy birthday, Tyler. Don't forget the lunar eclipse as well.
That's right. Big lunar eclipse on the 20th. And 19 years previously, on January 1st, 2000, the day Tyler was born, was another huge lunar eclipse. So kind of interesting that it happened 19 years apart. All right, Dale, any parting words for us tonight from the end of the Yellow Brick Road?
Not a lot. We're getting ready for bad weather this weekend. I don't know, not as much down here in southern Kansas, I don't think, as up north. But it looks like they're going to get it again. They've got blizzard winds and blowing snow conditions coming up overnight Friday into Saturday. And it's going to be cold for that football game up in Kansas City on Sunday. I'll tell you, I think the last revision was 19 degrees at kickoff, but the winds from the northwest at 10. So the wind chill factor wears about, rates about three or four layers of clothes. So that's it. We'll say good luck to the Saints for you, Don. I hope you'll do the same for the Chiefs, and we'll all watch some football this weekend. Good night.
Yeah, I like the given the choice of AFC, the Chiefs or the Patriots. I would prefer the Chiefs to win because I'm not a big Patriots fan, but in light of a couple of things. First off, I think it would be great to have a Breeze versus Brady Super Bowl. And also because the Super Bowl is being played in Atlanta, and the Atlanta mayor said, you know, they're not real happy about the Saints coming to play in the Super Bowl in Atlanta. And then, you know, she maddened and enraged a bunch of hoodets on her. She came back and she backpedaled it. She said, well, you know, nobody here, you know, the Saints fans are great and we welcome them to our city and everything, but nobody, not a single Atlanta Falcons fan is relishing the thought of a Saints Patriots Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Because think about it. The Falcons and the Saints are horrific rivals. I mean, just horrific rivals. And then, you know, the Falcons blew a 28-3 lead to the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So to have both of those teams play in their stadium, and of course their hated rival, the Saints, will be considered the home team because that is an NFC stadium. We get to live in their locker room. So yeah, Atlanta's just not having it. Atlanta's not having any of it. But and so I wish all the luck most of the luck in the world to the Chiefs. However, I would really like to see a Breeze-Brady Saints-Patriots Super Bowl. I think that'd be great. I think that'd be a lot of fun to watch. So, and congratulations to your Patrick Mahomes up there. He's a killer. Just absolute
Mahomes.
Killer.
Mahomes is good. He's awesome. And I'm sorry, ain't nobody wanting to see the Patriots go to another Super Bowl unless you live in about four states. So I'm all about the Chiefs going. Go Chiefs.
Well, one of them, Louisiana.
I saw a map
for sure,
to that effect on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It was all blue, except it was all red, except, you know, with the Indian KC logo, except for about four states. So,
most of the Northeast.
It'd be great to see the young guy go against the old guy there. 41 is Brady's age, and 23 is home. So, that's going to be good.
Wow.
It'll be good.
And Drew Brees turned 40 yesterday. Yesterday was his 40th birthday. And his son. If you remember the picture of him holding up his little son in the Super Bowl 9 years ago, he turned 10. So Drew Brees and Baylen Brees share the same birthday, just 30 years apart. All right, enough football talk. Gordon, any final words from you over there in the land of La-La?
No, other than stay warm, all of you, to our east. Cold weather coming.
All right, and we're going to take care of your Rams.
Please do.
All right. Well, that about says it all. So with that, we'll say good night, everybody. Thanks for watching Ham Nation. And good luck to whatever football team you're pulling for the AFC and NFC championships. And then that, of course, will set the Super Bowl. So we'll see what goes on with that. But from down here in Hoodat Land, Don at E5DW saying 7-3, good night for everybody here at Ham Nation, and we'll see you next week on most of this same Twit Network. Good night.